Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. I have always loved that song.
Yes.
So Sister Adams blesses my soul when I think about her singing about the angel. Amen.
Yes.
Watch over me. Amen.
Yes, he does.
Amen. I love biblical praise. Amen.
Amen.
Hebrews 1:14 says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will be the heirs of salvation? Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Speaking of the angels, they keep watching over me. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. I give praise and thanks to God for everything that we're dealing with here.
Yes.
Amen. Those of you who study with us frequently or regularly, you know we've been working our way through the epistle to the Romans.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And we have come to the latter part now, the final verses in chapter 11.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, these are very profound. I have a couple of copies of some script that we have written for the teaching. If anyone did not get one, if you entered the sanctuary and did not receive one, you may raise your hand and the deacons will try to get these copies to you. I see a couple of hands there. Amen. So that you can follow along with us. Amen. The word says, in all of your getting, get understanding. Amen.
Get understanding.
So that's why we like to hand out some notes.
Oh, yes.
To help you to be able to meditate on this even after you leave the sanctuary. Amen.
Oh yes. Amen.
Amen. All through the week you can just get a little something out of there. What I find out when I study the word myself is that you don't ever get it all on the one time you hear it. And the thing about preaching, it's for, Jesus said, feed my lambs and feed my sheep.
Yes.
So there's some lambs here listening, and that doesn't have to do with age. It has to do with spiritual maturity.
Yes.
And there are some sheep.
Amen.
Amen. So we're supposed to have a good diet, something suitable for the lambs and for the sheep. Amen.
Amen.
And it's possible to be a sheep and be 15 or 20 years old, or you can be 75 and be a lamb. So it works either way, but although it should be the other way, but sometimes it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
This depends on our spiritual age from the time we were born again, amen.
Amen.
Until the present time, amen. So, and it also depends on our spiritual understanding.
That's it.
The wonderful thing about it is that God already knows where all of us are in our spiritual development.
Right. Yes, He does.
And the message, if it's from His Word, it will reach you wherever you are.
Yes, it will.
Amen. So that's why He said, preach the Word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And I believe that's the time we have entered into. But will heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears.
Yes.
See, because people want to hear what they want to hear. They don't necessarily want to hear what they need to hear sometimes.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. So that's why we try to not to skip around too much. We just work our way through the whole word. Because I want to be able, as a steward of the mysteries of God, to say to God that I took time and meticulously went through your whole word. I'm trying to get the diet out to His people.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. So if you're here, on your part would be just be here.
That's it.
Amen. If you come, you will hear it, and it will bless you, and it will do the work that God sent it to do.
Amen.
In your life. Amen. So that's your part, would be try to make the commitment. And I also want to say against that, because we also had a special service this morning for the summary of our Sunday school for the year,
yes,
in which our superintendent, who is Michael Douglas, our deacon here, said some things that stuck with me that I just thought I wanted to reiterate to you. If you come, that's another opportunity to hear more of the word. And it's something that has been put on the back burner by many churches, or it has been given a lesser role than the role of so-called worship.
Yes.
And sometimes people come in to worship and what they're looking for is a tingling experience. They're not really looking for being immersed in the word.
Yes.
They're looking for, come in and tickle my gizzard and get me where I can, my liver can quiver. And then I'm going to run out the door and I'm good for the week, you know. But that's not what God wants. God wants us to soak in the word.
Yes.
He wants us to ruminate in the word, or as they say, what they call it, marinate. I hear the young folks say, we're just going to marinate in the word. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
And that doesn't mean it has to be boring. What I have found out is that the word is extremely interesting.
Yes, it is.
It's extremely interesting, extremely fresh.
Oh, yes.
You know, and if you just get in it, it's going to do something in you and work something out in your life that you never thought was possible. Amen. Amen?
Amen.
And see, that's the whole thing. The Bible says God says he sent his word and healed them.
Yes.
Think about that. He sent his word and healed them. I got stuff I need to be healed from.
That's right.
So I want to hear the word. The medication from God is his word. Amen. There's stuff I need to be healed from. And I know it's coming right through this word.
Yes.
So the word is important. Amen. So as we get back into chapter 11 with that brief commercial, we want to go right ahead and we were discussing the what happens when the covenant people, Israel, proceeded to crucify God's very own Messiah, his son, Jesus. That's a profound thing to think about. Why would the people who God sent him to, who had his word all those generations, for 42 long generations. They had the heritage of what Moses taught that took us all the way back to the creation of the world. And it was instructed to them throughout that time from their let's call it their hiatus in Egypt, if you will, where they were under very strong oppression there in the land of Egypt. And God brought them out before he even gave them the word into the wilderness, where he eventually gave Moses retroactive prophecy that takes you all the way back to when he created and spoke everything into existence.
Yes.
He gives the whole story of humanity, how man came about in the wilderness after he has delivered his children of who are the sons of Jacob out of Egypt through the Red Sea on dry land.
Amen.
And now these people, and they have that. Let me add this. I just want to put this in because I think it really blasts me the more I think about it. And this is what I see in Romans when we get in this 11th chapter. These covenant people, they have been a constant pain to God. Did you know that? Now, if you read your Bible, you wonder, why did God put up with them?
Yeah.
You know, all that time. You look back, they were belly aching about Moses as soon as they got out. Man, what do you bring us over here to kill us with thirst?
Yeah.
What you bring us over here, now we ain't got no food over here. They were complaining all the time. Oh, we would to God that we could have just go back to Egypt where we had onions and melons and leeks and garlic. Spicy food and everything was all good. But you don't remember, you were in slavery back there. See, and now you're over here, you're not in slavery, you're free, but now you're full of complaints. Belly aching and complaining to Moses who led you out. First, you didn't think he could do it. You talked about him on the other side. Say, man, look what you done. The enemy is after us and now we got the Red Sea in front of us. And here they come to kill us.
Yep.
What you bring us up here for? What kind of leader are you? They questioned his leadership.
Yes, they did.
God told him, stretch forth your rod. He did. And whoosh, much to their amazement, the Red Sea peels back and makes a pathway, a dry highway, right down through the riverbed. Now, whoever saw that? And then God swooped down a big wall of fire to stop the enemy from coming any closer.
That's right.
You know, I feel like I've been done that way a few times. Not necessarily a fire or any of that, but I know there was some stuff in my background that should have took me out.
Yes.
If I just really be honest.
That's right.
I don't know how y'all live. Y'all probably don't have lives like that, you know, where you looked at something and you thought, well, that didn't take me out, because it could have.
Yes.
I was at on the edge of danger.
Yes.
And it didn't get me.
Mama.
You know. And I don't know that it'll get me today when I leave here. You never know about that, you know. But what he did, God showed up. And he showed off. He showed that I can stop your enemy in his tracks.
That's right.
I don't have to let him get you.
Amen.
And when you think there is no way, I got a highway.
Yeah.
Even if it's in the river or the Red Sea.
Yeah.
It don't make any difference what the obstacles are.
Yeah.
I can open up a way that didn't exist for you and make a way for you to get through.
Amen.
And then what do? We how soon we forget. That's what we say. Get on the other side, your enemies come down in there, and God says, you didn't make it because you didn't trust me. You had 10 opportunities to repent and trust me, but you wouldn't do it. So here's what you get as judgment. He judged him right behind you. Then you get over here now, and you're over here for a while. You forget all about what God did for you to bring you to the place where you could be called by his name. And then you start saying, well, what about this? What about that? What you going to do about this? What you going to do about that? So he started off complaining. And so you know what? They have the nerve to get lofty and get up on a pedestal. We haven't even taken our text here yet. So just bear with me for a minute while I set the stage here. And then this same one, Paul, the apostle who writes here in the book of Romans chapter 11, he himself had been arrogant and proud against the church.
That's right.
But yet God was bringing out something exactly what he promised. It was coming right on schedule.
Yeah.
Messiah had come. He didn't come the way they thought he should come. Mm-hmm. But he came the way God said
that's right.
He would come.
Amen.
He came in the exact manner that God said, even though they could not interpret that this is what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And so I'm not going to get too far ahead, but I just wanted to say this here.
Yeah.
That you wonder, why would Israel proceed to crucify God's very own Messiah, his son,
yeah,
Jesus Christ? That's a question that must be answered.
All right.
Christians ought to be prepared to give an answer.
Amen.
That's what the word says. Be prepared to give an answer of the hope that lies within you with godly reverence and fear.
Yes.
See? And so the fact is, what did that mean? Just what did it mean when, as it relates to God's promises that he made to the forefathers? What about that? Because God sent in judgment to Israel after they rejected his son and crucified him. Spiritual blindness went up on them as a form of judgment.
Yes.
And that's what we see. But what does that nullify what God promised Abraham?
No way.
Does it nullify what he promised Isaac and Jacob?
No way.
It does not in any way. So we want to look at this, and this is kind of some of the subject matter of Romans chapter 11 as we cruise to the end of it here. So I'm going to ask some people to read just before we have a word of prayer. I thought about the book of Numbers, which is a good counter text to understand some of what the Israelites went through, basically, and how they even had false prophets speak a word against them.
Yes.
And speak against God's promises for his people, but yet they would not persevere. So we're going to take a look. We want to hear a reading from Numbers 23, verses 16 to 20 from the King James translation from the Old Testament for our Old Testament scripture reading. And then also we're going to read the final verses of Romans 11, verses 23 through 36. These on your printed text that we passed out are from the King James translation. We're going to have a couple of readers read those for us now, and then we will try to exposit some ideas from these texts. Amen.
Amen.
And the Lord met Balaam and put a word in his mouth and said, go again unto Balak and say thus. And when he came to him, behold, he stood by his burnt offering and the princes of Moab with him. And Balak said unto him, what hath the Lord spoken? And he took up his parable and said, rise up, Balak, and hear, hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it?
Mm.
Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?
Mm.
Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it.
Mm. Amen. That is the word of the Lord, the blessed word of the Most High God to the people of God from the Old Covenant. And now for a reading of the New Testament scripture, Romans 11, 23 through 36.
And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be drafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall he, which he, the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery.
All right.
That you should be wise in your own conceit.
Mm-hmm.
That blindness in part has happened in Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in.
Yes.
And so all Israel shall be saved. It is written, there shall not come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant to them, when I shall take away their sin.
Yes, yes.
As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake.
Yes.
For the gift and calling of God are without a repentance.
That's right.
For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief.
My Lord.
Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also shall obtain mercy.
Yes.
For God had concluded them in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the depth of the riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are the judgments, and his ways past finding out. Mm. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has seen his counsel? Mm. Mm. Or who has first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things,
yes.
To whom be glory forever.
My Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord.
My Lord. Lord.
And I would like to speak from the subject today, a power of perfect promises. Amen.
Amen.
Power of perfect promises. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Lord God, we praise you this morning. Father, we bless you. We just thank you, Father, for letting us be here today. Father, we thank you that we are clothed and in our right minds.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we thank you for all the multitude of grace that you have poured out into our lives. Father, you allowed us to keep on going. Even though we didn't do everything perfectly, Lord, this week, we're not able to say that we were without sin, Father. So we ask you, cleanse us of our sin, oh God. And we thank you for the grace that continues to allow us to be blessed because you adopted us, oh God. Those who have trusted in your Son. And so, Lord, we thank you for Jesus right now.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for the blood that he shed that covers us from every unrighteous word, every unrighteous thought, every unrighteous deed. And, Lord, we ask you, cleanse us again afresh. Oh God, this morning you said if we confess our sins that you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so Lord, we ask for that perfect state once again.
Yes,
that, and we thank you that it is renewable and refreshable every time we ask that the blood of Jesus covers us again. And Father, we pray right now that you give us strength against strongholds. Help us to understand the blindness of Israel, that it might not be something that affects us as we see the church falling into similar apostasy, oh God.
Yes.
Help us to be salt and light, oh God. Wake us up that we would not be condemned with the world, that we might go forward, Lord, in the righteous name of Jesus.
Yes.
Bless every ear, every mind, every heart with understanding here today, God, that we might turn around and give all the praise, the honor, and the glory right back to the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, because it is in him that you have accepted us.
Yes.
And we thank you for your perfect promises and the power thereof. We ask it in Jesus' righteous name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We want to just talk about this just a little because I think as we conclude this 11th chapter, first of all, I mentioned that as we go into chapter 12, you're going to be supremely blessed if you can make it, because 12 now talks about how to apply everything Paul has discussed in this letter from chapter 1 clear on up to 11 has been kind of nuts and bolts.
Mm-hmm.
It's foundational. But as we go into 12, it's going to be practical application that we can apply day by day to our everyday life.
All right.
But we need to understand the whole scenario. It's necessary to build the foundation if you're building a house before you start putting on floors and the roof and all those kind of things. It's got to have a solid foundation.
Amen.
And so Romans from chapter 1 clear up to this section here that we're about to conclude today is the foundation for what the Lord is going to instruct you and me to do as we turn the corner into chapter 12 in the coming weeks, starting on next week if the Lord wills or if he tarries. Amen. So it's very important here that we understand this relationship with the covenant people. Why did they reject Messiah? Is that normal? Was it a surprise? Did it shock God in any way? The answer to that is no, it did not.
No way.
So God had predicted it completely, and it's all written down in the scripture. And so you and I can have comfort, but it's something you have to address. It's something you can't just sweep under the rug and not understand. You need to understand why those people who he called separated. He brought them out of the Gentiles, made them a people for his own possession. Why would they crucify his Son? That's a question that must be answered. It screams out for an answer, and the answer has been, we've been getting the answer as we've been going through chapters 9, 10, and 11, and actually from chapter 3, clear on through up to chapter 11. So what I want you to see is that there has been a rebellious, disobedient pattern in Israel the entire time. That's why I mentioned those things I said in exposition.
Amen.
And you'll kind of like it is in the church. I'm not trying to throw Israel under the bus.
Right.
What about the church? Do you and I do everything perfectly right?
No.
No, but you know what? God keeps on keeping up with us, doesn't
he? Yes, he does.
Yeah, I'm happy to say he's blessed me. I haven't been the perfect, most perfect one. I've done stuff that I know is not right. But now Paul talked about in chapter 8 how when you trust Christ, the moment you trust Jesus Christ and you are born again, you believe that God raised him from the dead, God puts the Holy Spirit in you. This is a difference between people who are in the church.
That's right.
The Spirit of God moves in. He takes up residence in this old house, if you will. And now he's in there to convict me of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And he's there to make improvements in my life. He's in there to cast out a bunch of stuff that shouldn't be there. You know what? And I can give him praise and credit right now. Say there's a whole lot of stuff that was in here when he came in that's been thrown out. And there's a whole lot of new stuff in here that he's installing right now that's in there. And it's going to stay. It's not going anywhere. But not everything has been dealt with. And that's what we're going to get with. This is why you don't want to miss one lesson in 12 when we roll over into 12. But we have to understand God's a relationship with Israel was more external because the debt for sin was not paid.
That's right.
See, they went to the temple and they made sacrifices, but the Bible says with such sacrifices God was not pleased. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 4 says that the blood of bulls and goats never satisfied God's wrath against sin. So God was not satisfied until Christ was crucified. When he was crucified, the Bible says that he said he was at peace now with all of mankind because God has settled in one person that all the sin of all time would be forgiven in him. He will be the reconciliation for all the sin in the entire world. And you and I have been entrusted with the good news.
Yes.
We have the good news that we can go and tell everyone everywhere, which is what God's deal is now. He's not only dealing with the people who we call the Jews or the covenant people. This message is to go from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the uttermost part of the earth. And so right now you and I are 2,000 years on this side of the cross.
All right.
And we are still distributing the message that God so loved the world he gave his only begotten son. So that whosoever believes in him. See, there's no particular group of people. Whoever. No matter who you are, I can announce to you today that if you trust in Jesus Christ, God will forgive all your sin. Every bit. Past, present, and future.
Amen.
And see, and the reason that that's necessary is because God is a holy God.
Yes, he is.
He cannot deal with any sin.
Amen.
All sin of any sort is an affront to God.
Yes, he is.
That's why when he gave a list that we call 10 commandments, one thing on the list is murder. We would all say, oh yes, murder is a horrible thing. But on the same list is a lie. A lie is just as horrible as murder.
Yes,
it is. Because it was a liar who introduced death and murder and sin into the world. And his name was Satan. He lied. He told Eve, you can't trust God. Don't believe what he said. You can go ahead and enjoy that fruit he told you. Leave it alone. That was a lie. And that infected the whole human family.
Yes, it did. Amen.
With an incurable disease that ends in death. So God, when we see the gospel of Jesus Christ, what we see is God came into the flesh himself to show you that there's nothing wrong with the vessel that you occupy. How about that? A lot of times we like to blame it on our body. It's not the body. John 1:14 says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, right? So don't blame your body. You know, a lot of times we want to blame the body. Oh, I was having urges and I couldn't keep it to myself, so I went and did X, Y, or Z. No, it's not the body. The body is not the problem. The problem is the fallen mind. The fallen heart. That fallen heart, that fallen mind. And so Paul knew that now right well because he was with the group, as we have said so far in this study in Romans, who hated the church. Couldn't understand. God sent his son right on schedule, just like he promised. He promised that he would send him when the fullness of time was come. They would be born of a virgin. He had written all those things in the Old Testament. Israel would be in a state of apostasy. We say that means falling away from the things of God. And so Jesus came right on schedule. Well, Isaiah 7:14 said, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And they will call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. You see, he came right on schedule. He was born in Bethlehem according to Micah the prophet. Micah chapter 5 verse 2 said, in Bethlehem Ephratah, the Messiah, the deliverer, would be born. He came right on schedule, fulfilling everything the law and the prophets had promised. See, but yet when he came to the Jews, John has to report in John chapter 1 verse 10 and following, he said he came to his own, but his own received him not. But unto as many as received him, to them gave he the right to be called the sons of God, even those that believe on his name.
You see,
so the gospel was the good news that there's coming a day, even though God has put up with the sins of Israel for 42 long generations, he had displaced them 14 generations before Christ was born. And they have now been under Gentile dominion ever since.
That's right.
The Babylonian captivity happened after the 14 generations before Christ was born.
Amen.
And so after the Babylonian captivity, they went into Medo-Persian captivity, and after that they went under the captivity of Alexander the Great, and after that they were under the captivity of that was the Medes and the Persians, we would say. Then they were under the Greco-Macedonian captivity, and from that time Rome took over, and they were under Roman domination when Jesus was born.
That's right.
And they rejected Messiah 70 years later in 70 AD. The temple was destroyed, taken apart stone by stone, according to Jesus' own prediction in Matthew 24. And right now on the Temple Mount is the Mosque of Omar, of all things, still under Gentile dominion all that time. All the way up until now. But yet they are in the land because, why? Because of the power of the perfect promises of God.
Yeah.
That's the only reason they're there.
That's right.
They came back in 1948 to reoccupy the land.
Amen.
They've been there and they're going to be there. Now, I don't know if they're coming in and out another time. I'm not able to say that.
Yes.
But I am able to say that Israel will continue until the Lord steps in, because as soon as all the nations of the world turn on Israel, that's when we know the Bible says, look up for your redemption draws nigh. So Israel is like a timepiece, and the church needs to be aware of it. The church doesn't like preaching like this, by and large. I'm not saying, the majority of churches won't be talking about this on a Sunday or a Wednesday or any other time, you see, because it's not popular.
Yes.
But you know what? That's why Jesus said when he comes, it's going to be like a thief in the night. How does a thief come? Does he say, I'm coming in to break in? No, he doesn't, does he? You look up and bam, I'm in.
That's right.
See, he comes in without notice, takes you by surprise.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a lot of people taken by surprise who have not heard the word of the Lord.
Yeah.
And so basically, this is a wake-up call for the church. Now, I'm not saying anybody here is not aware, but we need to be aware of what's going on, keep our eye on Israel, understand the importance of it. That's why you see on all the major news feeds every day something about Israel.
Something about Israel.
Yep. Right now, they're talking about ISIL and ISIS and all of this, you know, and that they didn't even exist in the times of the Bible. As you know, we mentioned this on the Wednesday Bible study. The reason that you don't hear anything about Islam in the Bible is it didn't exist during the time of Christ. It didn't come to be until over 500 years after the Bible was finished. And people are reluctant to even say that. That was written from 610 to 632, the Quran, from 610 to 632 AD. The Bible was done in 95 AD. God was finished, sealed the book with a curse. So that's why you see no mention of it. You want to know why is it not mentioned? The only thing in it that's true was plagiarized from the Bible. We need to know that. Tell your Muslim buddies that. Did you know this? Then have them get the history book and look it up. Find out, is it true? And so the only thing that's important is what's true. Doesn't make any difference what people believe. We live in a pragmatic culture where people think whatever works is fine. If it works, what do you mean it works? That means we make money on it and all of this, then it's fine. As long as it's making money, it's cash flowing, if you will, then it's fine. But that's not true.
That's right.
Think about all the people who were wrong in the days of Noah. God told Noah there's going to be a terrible storm. There had never even been rain. They said, well, how are you going to predict a storm? What do you mean a storm? And what are you building this ridiculous thing here for?
Yeah.
He was making preparation because God gave him a warning 120 years before the great flood hit. And everybody who didn't believe was lost.
That's right.
Didn't make any difference what they had, how much they had amassed. It was all destroyed in the flood. And only those who believed God, trusted in him, walked by faith, were in that ark. That was eight souls.
That's it.
Now, I don't know if there was 8 billion back then. There was no birth control. There was no reason why birth would not have been tremendous, far beyond what it is now.
Yeah.
You see, bodies and human beings and flesh in general was much more pure in those days. So people were probably having 12 12, 15, 20, 40 kids. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Back in those days. We got a few now who still do that. You see what I'm saying? I had one pastor who said the only commandment that man did not break is be fruitful and multiply. And I believe that's true. We like that. Boy, we want to be fruitful and multiply. You know. But the fact is, back then there was nothing that stopped the birth process, and so I don't know how many people there were. That's all I wanted to say. But the fact is, eight of them got saved.
Yeah.
The eight who believed God got saved.
Wow.
And that baptism that baptized the whole world became the destruction of everyone who didn't believe, but it lifted those who believed up above the destruction. And then God repopulated the earth with those eight, as we know.
Amen.
And so basically what I want you to understand is that there is power in the perfect promises of God.
Yes, it is.
Whatever God has said, He is fully able to perform, and it will not fail.
Amen.
If you want to put your trust in something, trust the promises of God.
Yes.
Why? Because they are perfect. He is the designer who designed all things. If He said it, it will be done.
Amen.
Period. You can count on it. It may not happen when you think it ought to happen.
Yes.
But if He promised it, you can hang your hat on it.
Yes,
you can hold on to it. It'll take you through storms. It'll take you through
troubles.
It'll take you through any kind of a difficult situation that you're dealing with because God promised it.
Amen.
His word cannot fail. The scripture cannot be broken, Jesus said. And so I just want you to see something here as we cruise to the end of this 11th chapter with that brief exposition. We see here that in the book of Numbers, this is a time when the children of Israel were moving from a place to place. They were actually coming out of captivity, and they ran into a guy named Balak, who actually was the king of Moab.
Mm-hmm.
Moab primarily was a set of people who came out of the incest of Lot with his two daughters. There was Ammon and Moab.
Yep.
The two daughters of Lot lay with him as they escaped the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah in a place called Zoar, which was a small place.
Amen.
And basically they multiplied into all kinds of people, and when the children of Israel were coming through, they needed to pass through their land. They had defeated Ammon, and now they were coming to Moab.
Mm-hmm.
The king of Moab was upset, so he hired a prophet for hire named Balaam. And he told Balaam to curse the people of God. He said, "I'll pay you. Curse them." We got people like that today, prophets for hire.
Yes.
You can call and make a donation, and we will speak peace and victory into your life.
Yeah.
You know, they say. Or you can make a donation of $1,000, and we will, they tell you what they're going to do, prophets for hire. They've always been around in all of time. Here was a set that the covenant people ran into as they were departing on their way to the promised land. And the Lord met Balaam, it says here, who is the false prophet, and put a word in his mouth. Now I just want you to know, God can put a word in a false prophet's mouth.
Yes, He can.
Understand that. That's something you need to know. Just because somebody said something that God said doesn't necessarily mean they are a prophet of God. Because the test of who is a prophet is what they say come to pass.
Yes.
That's what God says in Deuteronomy 18:18. There's going to be a prophet like me, and Moses said, who will arise. But he tells you how to determine a false prophet is the one who speaks in the name of the Lord and it does not come to pass. That man is a false prophet.
Yes.
Or that woman, or whoever it happens to be.
Yeah.
So we need to understand, just because people are speaking, saying, "Thus saith the Lord," doesn't mean that they are speaking for God.
Yeah.
So this is why you and I need Bible study. You know what? God's not going to hold the teacher responsible if you get the wrong information.
That's right. Amen.
He's going to hold the teacher doubly responsible in one sense, but you need to know for yourself.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit is given to everyone who trusts Christ.
Yes, He is.
And He will be in you to lead you and guide you to all truth.
All truth.
The Bible says, "Examine everything carefully. Cleave to that which is good. Abhor that which is evil."
Yes.
That means you have that sense of judgment in yourself.
Amen.
That God has given you if you're saved. If you're not saved, I want to let you know God wants you to be saved.
Yes, He does.
So if you're here, don't be scared if you think, "Oh, I don't know if I'm saved or not." God wants you to be saved.
Yes.
He loves you just like you are. He gave His Son to be crucified for you. He died on the cross to settle your sin debt once and for all. And the reason He got out of the grave after 3 days and three nights was to fulfill the scriptures, the law and the prophets, and to show you and me that death has been swallowed up in victory.
Yes. Oh, yes.
I don't even need to be fearful of death.
That's right.
Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave.
Yes, He did.
And He got up with all power. That's a power that other people, basically, you understand that. Other people still have to be subject to death, and they have no solution for it.
None.
We talk talk about that all the time.
Yes.
You know, if Buddha was preaching something that would help you, why come he didn't get out the grave?
All right.
And we could go on and on. If Muhammad said something that could help you, why come he couldn't get out the grave?
All right.
Why come any of these people, Confucius, name somebody, they're in the grave, rotting away. Mm-hmm. And the only reason that the church exists is that the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, came into the world, took all of our sin upon himself, was crucified on the cross, even though his own people had a part with it. Because God predicted it, and it's all written in the Word. That's what you all have been seeing from our previous Old Testament illustrations. He took the weight of sin upon himself, because it was one man's responsibility that all people are sinners. And so God made it the responsibility of one man, his son, that all can become saved. So if you're not saved, God wants you to be saved. He does not want you to go one more second without being saved, and all you do that is trust in his son. Believe that God raised him from the dead. The Bible says you shall be saved. That's a promise from God, and there is power in the perfect promises of God. God promised that because he wants you to trust him, and he's the only one that's credible in my opinion, because he's the only one that got out of the grave. So you have every reason to believe him. If Jesus hadn't gotten out of the grave, basically there would be no church.
That's right.
We would have nothing to preach.
That's right.
But the fact is, and all they had to do was get that body, bring that sarcophagus right down the middle of Main Street in Jerusalem, say, here he is, right here. That didn't happen.
That's right.
The Jews who hated him would have loved that. Get in that tomb, get that body, and bring it out here so we can show him he's dead. You know why it didn't happen? Because he was not dead. He got up. Out of the grave. With all power in his hand.
Yes, he is.
You see? All power, Jesus said, Matthew 28:18, is given unto me in heaven and earth. Then he said to his disciples, go ye therefore and teach all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So basically that's our mission. But let's get back to numbers here. I kind of took a turn there.
That's all right.
Now here we see these are people who came through from the incest of Lot, that was Abraham's nephew, basically, that had come out of Sodom and Gomorrah that he had chosen. He had laid with his own daughters and produced the two sons, one called Ammon, the other called Moab. These have become great people by now, and the king is now Balak. And he said unto Balaam, it says here that Balak had hired Balaam to curse the children of Israel, because I know you a prophet, curse them so they won't succeed. And basically they would not, he said, now notice his response, we'll just let him speak for himself here. Verse number 17, and when he came to him, behold, he stood by the burnt offering and the princes of Moab with him, and Balak said unto him, what hath the Lord spoken? And he took up a parable and said, rise up, Balak, and hear, hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie.
That's right. Amen.
Neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? In other words, whatever God said, will he not do it? Will he not make it good? If God has given you a promise, you can count on it. That's what he's saying. Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it.
That's right.
You and I ought to just love that. The devil can't speak anything over you that will curse you.
That's right.
Because if God already said you're blessed, guess what?
You're blessed.
Amen.
Yeah.
It don't make no difference who speaks a word against you.
That's right.
If God be for us, Paul said, who shall be against us?
Right.
He who gave his own son, shall he not also with him freely give us all things?
Yes.
See, you ought to know, if you are the blessed of God, nobody can reverse it.
That's right.
They'll tell you they can reverse it. They like to blow smoke.
That's all they can do.
They want to make you think that something can happen other than what God said. But the promises of God are perfect, and they're yes, Paul said. And in him, amen. You see, you can count on it. Because it's the perfect power of the promises of God. And so primarily Balaam knew that. All the Old Testament people who came against the people of God knew that. Paul writes here in Romans 11, as we look at our Romans 11:23, he says, and also they also, speaking of Israel, if they abide still in unbelief, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. Now, last week he said that the Gentiles have been grafted in to the true vine. In other words, which is his son. Jesus had said in John 15 that I am the true vine. And so everyone grafted into him. The Gentiles weren't a part of the natural flow of the people of Israel, but God cut them in.
Yes.
The branches that didn't believe, he cut them off. And so God is the vine dresser, as Jesus said, who's maintaining the vine. And he can cut you in or he can cut you out.
Yes.
Now, he doesn't want to cut anyone out. So I said that last week because I don't want that to be scary to you, because he loves you. And if you abide in him, he said, you will bear much fruit. The proof that you abide in him is the fruit that you bear in your life.
All right.
Your personal life, and also the overflow into the lives of others.
Amen.
Okay,
amen.
So primarily Paul says, just as the Jews have fallen out, don't get it twisted, because he says that God can cut them back in should they come into a state of belief as they did before.
Yes.
The bottom line factor of one's being grafted into the true vine, that is Jesus Christ himself, is based entirely on if a person believes in God through his son. That's what has to do with if you're cut in. Has nothing to do with your ethnicity.
That's right.
You can be black, white, Jew, Gentile, Greek, name something. Chinese, Japanese, anything. And this gospel is for everybody.
Yes, it is.
Has nothing to do with color. Now, that's another one. I want to say that there's contamination on the color end.
Yes, it is.
In the church that we have to watch out for.
Say it. Make it simple.
It's definitely got to be, because God is looking for, he has no respecter of persons.
That's right.
He is not pro-black people necessarily.
Amen.
Or pro-Jewish people or pro-white people.
Yes.
None of that. God is for every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people.
That's right.
And the truth is, whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life.
Word.
So be careful if you get in a church that's ethnically unbalanced, not necessarily by the attendees, but by the doctrine that it teaches.
Amen.
You see, we don't have any disparagings against anybody, things of disparity against anyone of any color. We go into all the world and teach all the nations. That's what this is about.
Amen.
It's not about simply the black man. We got people twisted on the black man, or twisted on the white man, or twisted on the Chinese man, or the Indian man.
Yes.
This is for every human being of every stripe.
Right.
You see? And so the gospel is good news to the whole world. We have to make sure we understand that. Therefore, let us not get it twisted. God still will keep every promise that he has made to Israel, even though as a nation they generally reject him. He is not a man that he should lie.
That's right.
Nor a son of man that he should repent. Now, people try to take that verse and say that means Jesus couldn't be God. Well, that's not true. Jesus has two natures.
Yes, he does.
He is fully man and he is fully God. That's the thing we have to understand. He has his own human nature, because God gave him that through a succession of 42 generations. He actually started it before that, when he caused Abraham to be fruitful in the time when Abraham was 75 and had no seed. And he called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. God started the genetic process to bring forth his son when the fullness of time was come, as Paul says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, just as he had promised all the way in Genesis 3:15, that the seed of the woman would bring forth the Messiah.
Yes.
And so don't think that because God gave spiritual blindness to Israel, and it has been for now about 2,000 years, that he cannot cut them back in, because he's going to keep every promise that he ever made.
Yes.
So notice this as he goes on, verse 24, for if they were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, if you, he says, were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted in contrary to the nature, it is into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted in into their own olive tree? See that? So don't get it twisted. Realize God can cut the Jews back in, and there are many Jews who do believe even today.
Yes, they do.
And the very early church was all Jewish.
Amen.
It started off Jewish before any Gentiles were actually invited in.
Right.
And they continued to be invited in. That's why Jesus gave a specific path that the gospel was to take. It was to be preached in Jerusalem, which is the city of the great king, in Judea, in Samaria, and then to the uttermost part of the earth. By the time we get to Acts 10, Peter is preaching to Cornelius, an Italian cohort, and the gospel is beginning to go out to the Gentiles.
Amen.
As we see, Paul says that he magnifies his ministry to the Gentiles. Gentiles, because he was called to be the apostle to the Gentiles. And so now Gentiles are anyone who is not a Jew, just to define that for you. Now notice this, verse 25 explains why the Jews are in the state they're in, and we should hear this carefully. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. That word is mysterion in the Greek. It means something that requires spiritual discernment. It's not a great whodunit like we like to think of a mystery, like some of these different things that we see today. This is something the Holy Spirit must reveal. He says, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. In other words, you get it your way and not the way God's way. Now, this is what has happened. This is the spiritual mystery, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. So God has opened the door for the rest of the world. Right now, it's been 2014 years. In that time period, roughly, give or take a few years. And so all Israel shall be saved. Notice that? In other words, God still has a promise to them, and it will still go down.
Yes.
As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Now there's Jacob. That was the father of the patriarch out of whom the 12 sons came, that came to be known as the 12 tribes of Israel.
Amen.
And so God is still speaking of Jacob, although he has been in his grave for a long time.
Yes.
By the time this text was written. Now notice in verse 27, for this is my covenant unto them. A covenant is a promise. In the case of God, it's a powerful, perfect promise, and it was unconditionally made to them when I shall take away their sins. So God is still going to take away the sins of Israel, and that's still in his promise. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies, speaking of the Jews, for your sake. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. Now these will be the patriarchs, the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all those that God promised. Now this is the reason why, verse 29, and I love this, and I hope you memorize this one. For the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. If God called you and blessed you with gifts of the Spirit, he is not sorry that he did.
All right.
You ever wonder why, you know, I still have the gifts that God blessed me with even though I sin? I have been on my knees with that one to God. I said, God, thank you for not taking away your gift, because some things about me are still not right. But you read this verse, it says the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. God is not sorry that he blessed you.
That's right. Amen.
He knew exactly what he was doing when he
Amen.
Blessed you.
Amen.
You ought to say, thank you, God, that it's because of you, not because of me, that you blessed me with gifts of understanding, gifts of teaching, gifts of healing, gifts of prayer. Whatever the gifts are that God has given you, he is not sorry he gave them to you.
That's right.
Yes.
He'll never take them back. There, one translation says the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable.
Yes.
They cannot be taken back. Think about this. Everything that proceeds from God is eternal.
That's right.
God doesn't want to take it back. He doesn't change.
Amen.
You know, if you're saved, God chose you before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1:4. We have to get used to thinking like that.
Yeah.
We don't think that way.
That's right.
We think, well, you're an Indian giver. I'm going to give you something. I don't like what you did. I'm taking it back.
Uh-huh.
That's the way we think. God doesn't think that way.
No way.
If I gave it
to you,
I didn't ever have to give it to you to start
Thank
with.
You, Lord.
And I'm not taking it back.
Yes.
You keep it.
Amen.
See that? Now, I'll tell you what. Let's balance this. Ananias and Sapphira, I don't think they went to hell, but I think they were saved. But I think they played with God, the Holy Spirit. God says, okay, I'll shorten your life then.
That's right.
I'll bring you home. The Bible says there is a sin leading to death. So God can take you out, but he's not going to take the gifts back. That's the thing I want you to see.
Amen.
And I'm praying he doesn't take me out. I'd like to stay in. I'd like to be here till the trumpet sound. You see? Now notice this, though. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet now have obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so these also now not believe, he says, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. We ought to be praying for mercy for Israel. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Now all he could do after he said that was come to this conclusion, and with this I conclude also. He says, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath become his counselor? Who could counsel God?
Yes.
The Most High. Who is there big and bad enough to say, God, let me give you some counsel on that? Now, you know, Peter did that to Jesus one time. He came up to him, let me get you straightened out here, Jesus.
Yes,
you see? But Jesus, of course, rebuked him, said, get thee behind me, Satan.
That's right.
He says, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen.
Yes.
So Paul had to just bless him.
Amen.
Oh, how deep is the mind of God.
My Lord.
That he prepares salvation for all people. Is that what he told Abraham? I just want to ask you. What did he tell Abraham? He said, get thee out of thy country.
Yep.
And away from thy kindred and out of thy father's house. Come into a land that I will show you. I will bless you and make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I will bless them who bless you. Curse him who curseth you. And in your seed what? All the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's what he said.
That's right.
All the way in Genesis.
That's right.
Before the rest of the Bible even got spoken. And now Paul is saying that's exactly what he's doing.
Yes.
He's doing exactly what he told Abraham. I'm blessing all the families of the earth. This was even before there was one person called a Jew.
That's right.
So you and I need to understand that God's mind is just way on another schedule far above ours. So I hope if you're here today and you are not saved, that you understand right now that God loves you just like you are.
Yes.
You can't do anything to save yourself.
Nothing.
But God wants to save you, and he'll do it right now if you trust in him. We're calling for anyone who wants to be a member of St. Timothy MB Church, or anyone who wants to be saved. In other words, if we receive you as a member, we can also receive you for salvation.
Yes.
We've cleared this front row here. We'd like to invite you to come. I'd like to ask everyone to stand at this time. Amen. And if you are here and you'd like to connect with our church anyway, whether it's for salvation or you're already saved and would like to bring your membership in, we have a special seat for you. And as you see, we have rolled out the red carpet for you. And we invite you to come right now. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Come right now. Do not be ashamed to own the Lord. Have a seat right there on that front row. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Come right now. Come just as you are. The Lord is ready to receive you. Amen. And we are happy to be here to teach you, help you understand the word. Amen. That's our highest pleasure, is to receive people into God's kingdom and guide them along the way.
Amen.
Come on right now. This is a good day to be saved. Amen. And we'll share this celebration we're about to have here with you. Amen.
Amen.
And I'll actually, we'll kill the fatted calf, as you would say here. We already have a feast already set up. We can celebrate your coming right here now today, along with the promotion that the Lord has provided for me.
Amen.
Amen. Come on right now.
My Lord.
If you can. Amen. If you desire to be a part of the church, come right now.
Amen.
Amen. Come, come to Jesus. Why?